You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, good to have you with us as we begin our final hour right here on The Fan. We'll have Wes McElroy coming up from the Virginia Tech Radio Network and also our sister station in Richmond, Sports Radio 910, The Fan in Richmond on the radio.com app. Normally, you will hear Virginia Tech football right here in this general time slot, but tonight they're playing a night game. And unfortunately, we just found out, Wes pointed me out to this, John Lazor, who's normally, of course, on the call and the play-by-play voice of the Hokies, just issued this a little while ago, and I missed this, so I'll just read it for you now. The letter from Lazor says, "Fellow Hokies, unfortunately, I've fallen victim to contact tracing. While I have not tested positive for COVID-19, I was recently in close proximity to an individual who did test positive. Out of an abundance of caution for the safety of those who I would be in contact with on game day, including my crew, who I consider family, I have made the incredibly painful decision not to call tonight's game at Lane Stadium. I continue to feel fine and look forward to being back next week for Wake Forest. In the meantime, you'll be in the great hands with Bryant Johnson and, of course, Mike Burnup, who is his normal partner. He said, rest assured, I'll be watching, listening, and cheering along with the rest of Hokie Nation tonight. So we certainly hope that John Lazor, you know, of course, avoids, you know, testing positive. That's most important. And obviously, it seems like, you know, the absolute correct thing to do. And you will hear what that'll be like for Wes McElroy, who, again, does the pre and post as part of that broadcast crew with Mike Burnup. And again, Bryant Johnson will be doing the play-by-play tonight for John Lazor. So, and that's coming up on The Fan, I believe, at 6 o'clock. We'll get you started with the pregame coverage for that football game. All right, let's get back to it with your calls here on The Fan, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's go to Rode in Manassas on line one. Good afternoon, Rode. How are you? Did he take the road less traveled? Maybe. Okay, we'll figure it out. Let's go to Mike in Alexandria on line two. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, what's going on, Rooster? How you doing?
What's up,
bud?
Mike?
Not too much, man. Love the show and everything. So,
thank you, brother.
First of all, I just wanted to comment on, first of all, I think you're absolutely correct when you're talking about Ron Rivera and his decision-making. A lot of people just have to give this time. I mean, this is his first season coaching, and he did inherit an abysmal of a team. And let's face it, Dwayne Haskins isn't his guy. But, you know, instead of making this all about Dwayne, I think Ron is really trying to steer this about the whole team. It's just that he has a rookie quarterback. Now, this has been – proof in the pudding for a long time since last year that Dwayne really hasn't really been keeping his nose in the playbook like he should, or putting himself in a position where he's trying to learn situational football on an NFL level. Mm-hmm. And let's face it, the young man had, like you said, one season of college, which I totally agree he should never came out. He probably had more snaps in high school than college.
Yeah.
And on top of that, no OTAs, no preseason. So, Ron, just like he said from the beginning when he first took this team over, has everybody forgot that this man said he's not trying to win later? He's trying to win now. So, therefore, he's going to be making plan A, plan B decisions to blow things up in his first one season with this team versus going all the way for a full year to see how it works. Now, I was hoping he would do that with Dwayne because I'm like you. I like Dwayne too. But if Dwayne is not understanding situational football in critical times because he knows he has a big arm, it's more to that position than to say I can sling it down the field.
Yes.
You know, we all seen the games. We all seen the tape. The young man has a lot of work to get done. Most importantly, like AP said last year, put his nose in the books.
Mm-hmm.
Be a film room junkie. You can't be like Tom Brady. All the rings Brady got, do you think he's going to let the gas pedal off because he's at Tampa Bay? They said this guy's put in just about the same work, if not more, since he's in Tampa Bay.
Yep.
Because he has a whole new team, a whole new playbook, a whole new squad. And, yes, he's a multi-time Super Bowl champion. So I say to
Mike,
Dwayne,
I talk. I just let me chime in, and then I'll let you go back and forth. I talked to somebody recently on that staff, and I said real life, you know. And this is a friend of mine, right? So I know he's going to give me. I said, "What's Tom Brady like behind the scenes?" And he said, "The first thing he said was true professional." Like, and what does that mean?
Exactly.
What does that mean? It doesn't mean that you're nice to everybody. It doesn't mean that you kiss everybody's ass. It means that you work your ass off and that you put in hours and hours and hours and hours on how to get better, even when you've won the amount of Super Bowls and made the amount of money that Tom Brady has had. And that's, you know, that's one part of not having experience and being young that Dwayne Haskins has to learn, is that when you're 23, okay? I don't know if you have kids, but you know, my daughter, you know, my daughter's 16, right? And she works really hard on her schoolwork, and she works a part-time job, and she thinks she works super, super hard. And I always try and tell her, I said, honey, you are working hard and I'm very proud of you, but there's more you can do. You can do more around the house. There's more you can do to help out with your brother or help out your mom or help out around the house. There's always more you can do. So when you're 22, 23 years old, you can think, Mike, that you are working hard and that you are doing your share, but you can always do more.
Correct. No, I totally agree, because it's one thing about working hard, but then you also got to work smart.
Yes.
And that's all based upon prioritizing. You know, when you're prioritizing the things that you know you need to do, not just on the field, but off the field, it's that off the field grind that gets you where you need to go. You know that, Rooster. Like, you know, we're just mentioning Tom Brady. And, you know, that's why I'm looking at the Dwayne situation like, yo, who does this cat think he is? That he feel as, yeah, that's great. You fulfill the dream that you always had since you was a little boy to come to the NFL, and that's awesome. But every great player will tell you, you go to the next level as soon as you step in that door.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a different type of work ethic. It's a different type of work atmosphere. It's different type of people that you meet. And sad to say, some of the people outside the field that he may hang around with, he may got to leave some of those folk alone.
Well, I don't know enough about that area, so I don't feel comfortable necessarily, you know, saying anything in that regard, because I haven't heard that he hangs out with bad people. I don't know, right? But
it doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad people.
Yeah.
No, I'm just saying people that's not going to.
Oh,
the same
I got you. Right. People that are probably telling him what he wants to hear instead of what he needs to hear. I got you. Here's the thing, right? There's no 22 or 23 year old that's going to want to hear, you have to work a lot harder, right? None of them are going to want to hear that, right? Or if they hear it, they're going to go, yeah, the old man, the old woman is nuts, right? Whether it be the parent, right, whether it be the grandparent, whether it be a brother, sister, or a head coach, right? So Dwayne is probably, I don't know this for sure, thinking he's working hard enough, or he's working and doing what he should be doing. But again, correct, I would tell you this, and it's, you know this, Mike, I can tell immediately you know this, is whatever he thinks is enough, you need to do 50% more, if not more than that. Whatever he
more
thinks is
that.
Enough, he needs to do more. And that's the whole deal.
Matter of fact, I just read an article just the other day that Joe Theismann was trying to reach out to him. And I'm going to tell you something. You got a veteran, a legend in this area alone, in the NFL. You know, quite frankly, I consider still one of the best quarterbacks the Redskins had, that wants to really work with you to be an advisor. If Dwayne is listening to this call, reach out to that dude. Reach out to that dude and listen to a veteran, a legend, that can tell you that a number that you're wearing, that he gave to you, that mm-hmm. gave his blessing.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to this guy. Because if anybody knows how to be a professional in the NFL and know their way around, it's definitely Joe Theismann.
Mike, if he hasn't done that in the last week, and now maybe it's because he's sick. If he hasn't done it, he's not doing himself a service. To your point, right, he should be calling, you know, anyone and everyone that he could pick their brain and say,
absolutely,
hey, what can I do better? What do you think I can do? What are the little things that I can do to get back in the good graces? And that's what
correct.
He absolutely should be doing.
I want to see Dwayne. Here's the thing. Because hypothetically, as he gets traded, he's going to be in the same situation. He's not going to start right off the break.
Exactly.
He's going to be a second or third stringer somewhere.
Exactly.
So
exactly.
The thing is, if you sit here, listen and learn, to me, this works in Dwayne's favor, because you're in a brand new system, a brand new head coach that really technically wants to work with you, but he wants to make sure he has the professionalism and a person who follows instructions well to get the job done.
Yes.
As long
as
he does that and sit for a year or two, I guarantee you, Dwayne, man, get in the books, get in the film room, be the first one there, last one to leave, get that extra overtime, get with Scott Allen, get with all these coaches that you know that's trying to help you develop, and stop playing around, man.
Mike, I love you, man. That's a great call. It's a great perspective. Awesome, awesome, awesome job. I thank you so much, man. You're absolutely singing the right tune. Trust me, you are correct, and I believe I'm correct. And you know that's what it's all about. So thank you very much, and you know, just keep on being correct is what I would say. And have a good rest of the weekend, pal. Appreciate you. That's a great call from Mike and Alexandria. And that's not just because he agrees with me. It's because it's the reality of the situation. This is, again, not a 4-game evaluation. This is not anything to do with other than. And Ron reiterated yesterday, when I asked him directly, I said, how do you teach consistency? You keep talking about lack thereof consistency. How do you teach it to a young team or a young player? And he said, you just keep working hard at it. You just keep going, working. He goes, and I promise you, if they do it the way we're telling them to do it, they will get the credit and they will get the glory. And if you don't, then the finger is going to be pointed at you. Who do you think he's talking about right there? Who do you think he's talking about? Not just Dwayne Haskins, but I guarantee you he's talking about Dwayne Haskins, period. All right, we'll take a timeout. I'll come back and tighten up a couple of things, and then we'll again hook up with our pal Wes McElroy at 2:30, host on the Virginia Tech Hokies radio network here on The Fan. All right, once again, Wes McElroy, Virginia Tech Hokies Radio Network coming up. He'll be part of the coverage tonight for Virginia Tech right here on The Fan. And as well, you can hear him in Afternoon Drive on the Fan 910 in Richmond, our sister station of radio.com. You can always listen to any part of the show that you may have missed, or you can listen to old AWOD from 9 to noon this morning on the radio.com app as well. Just use the rewind feature, and you can go up to 24 hours in rewind. One thing, I touched on it earlier, wanted to get to it now while we had a couple of minutes, and that was another Washington Post article that came out yesterday. You may have missed it because by now it's, you know, I feel bad, but it's kind of old news at this point. You know, there were a lot of creeps that worked for the Washington Football Organization. I mean, that's as simple as you could say it. And, you know, they did some things that they should not have done, period. And now there's a new column out from the Washington Post, you know, and we have coverage of it on thefandc.com. And it's titled, "More Washington, Former Washington Football Cheerleader Speak Out." Quote, "They violated our trust." The Washington Post, you know, put together this article yesterday. And obviously they do a great job, but this is in reaction to the alleged or the videos that have been seen, you know, by the Washington Post. And, you know, you have former cheerleaders, one in particular here quoted as saying, "I don't think they viewed us as people." Chastity Evans, God, why am I struggling with that name? Quote, "I didn't see it when I was younger because I loved what I did." And, you know, look, unfortunately, what you have here is power and privilege, right? And taking advantage of people that are either intimidated, are scared to say what they know and what they heard and what they observed and what they witnessed, or people, quite honestly, and I know this for a fact, there were so many employees that I talked to over many, many years that they always let it be known, hey, you work for the Washington Redskins. That's more important than salary. That's more important than lack of human resources. That's more important than you feeling comfortable in a non-hostile work environment. That's more important than anything. That's your symbol in life. That is your, you know, like, your business card, your aura is, yeah, I work for the Redskins. I travel with the Redskins. Yeah, I get to go to Redskins. I know players. I know coaches. Yeah, I'm in the building every day. They literally would impart that message on people. It was, you work for the Redskins. It didn't matter if you got paid $30,000 a year to work 60 hours a week. It didn't matter in their minds. Oh, they'll be fine. They work for the Redskins. And that's how, with that attitude, and obviously a toxic culture, is how you lose 35 plus employees in the span of a year, as I reported last summer. But instead, all of these high powered people were too busy demeaning women, being nasty pigs, trying to make secret porn videos or whatever. I mean, it's essentially what it is, right? And even this Chastity Evans called it a soft porn video. I mean, again, I've never seen it. I can only go based on what the Post people have seen. But, I mean, you know, look, some bad people were in charge in high-powered positions who looked the other way or who were complicit. That's all there is to it. And Jason Wright and the new executive that they hired earlier this week and Ron Rivera can never, ever, 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 ever allow that type of behavior to go on in their building no matter what. It cannot be allowed. I don't think it will be allowed. I don't think it'll be sanctioned. I don't know what will happen after they leave ultimately, because they all will leave at some point, whether on their decision or not. But what has happened over the last 20 years can never, ever, ever be allowed to happen again. And I know there are people that still are in executive enough positions in that organization, you know, that know that a lot of bad stuff happened and, you know, they keep doing their thing and they keep working there. Because for some people, the pay is really good. Despite the fact that a lot of bad things have been done to a lot of people. And a lot of people, including myself, at times, looked the other way and just buried ourselves in our work. So it's a really, really, really tough decision. When you're dealing with all of this stuff, to look at it and say, listen, football is more important. I mean, ultimately, football is what they do, right? And football is important. But all the losing, all the chaos, all the dysfunction is not more important than treating our fellow human beings, our colleagues, our fellow men and women. No matter what color of their skin, no matter what sexual orientation they are, none of it is more important than treating people with respect and dignity. That doesn't mean you can't compliment somebody and say, hey, you're looking great. You look awesome. That doesn't mean that. What it means is you can't send illicit pictures or illicit texts or tell somebody that they have to have big, you know what I'm talking about, right? That's not what we do. And quite honestly, that is more important than winning and losing football games and making money. And it's never been that way until I'm praying, and I don't pray a lot now. So I just wanted to say that. All right, Wes McElroy, Virginia Tech, Hokies Radio Network, The Fan 910 in Richmond joins us next. Get set for tonight's game here on The Fan, and we'll get Wes's thoughts on everything Washington football team next, right here, Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. All right, welcome back, everyone. Good to have you with us. Final 20 minutes or so of the radio program. Let's hook up with my pal Wes McElroy, who you hear afternoon drives on our sister station in Richmond, 910 The Fan and the radio.com app. And tonight, as you hear on Fall Saturdays, he'll be part of the Virginia Tech broadcast on the Hokies Radio Network here on The Fan. You'll hear that coverage beginning at 6 o'clock, and Wes joins us as we get set for Virginia Tech and Boston College from Lane Stadium in Blacksburg. Should be a perfect Saturday night for college football. A little crisp in the air and a pretty good football game here. What's up, Wes? How are you, pal?
Rooster, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. You already down in Blacksburg, I assume?
Well, we had a little bit of an audible call this week, so I will be doing the pregame and postgame from Richmond.
Okay, gotcha. So, all right, so I addressed it on the show about a half an hour ago. I don't know if it's all connected, but we'll get this out of the way. I mean, obviously he said it on Twitter, and you pointed it out to me, John Lazor is not going to be on the call tonight because I guess he came in close contact with somebody that has tested positive for COVID-19. Obviously, this is the right call, but you know, you guys, much like Virginia Tech or any football team, are a team. I assume it's going to be kind of strange for you and Mike Burnup and everyone else associated with the broadcast to do the game without Lace.
It is definitely going to be different. It's going to be odd. I mean, from the technical standpoint, we're going to treat this like a road game where I am not traveling this year. ACC is not allowing sideline reporters. So Virginia Tech has allowed me what I call moat for basically the front two rows of Lane Stadium in the stands. But however, with the game being home tonight, we're just going to kind of keep it a simplified broadcast, more of a skeleton crew. So Luther, Maddie, and I will be doing it remotely. Mike Burnup and I will do the pre and the post game. Mikey is there. Bryant Johnson, who is part of the broadcast family, he's going to be doing the play-by-play. So, yeah, it's absolutely different. You know, the most important thing is, as Lay's updated earlier today, his test was negative. So that's the most important thing. I know it's crushing him because We live for this. This is our favorite thing that we do is being, you know, we only get so many false Saturdays. We get fewer this year. This year you don't know how many you're going to get or you don't know when you're going to get them. So, we're going to kind of hold down the fort for Lays. We've had two road games here back-to-back weeks, so we know what we're doing. So we'll try to keep it simplified and let Brian and Mikey do the call.
No doubt about it. All right, so you can listen to the coverage with Wes beginning at 6 o'clock right here on the Virginia Tech Hokies Radio Network and as well 106.7 The Fan. You can follow Wes at YoWes910 The Fan. Of course, listen to him afternoon drive on 910 The Fan in Richmond and on the radio.com app. So tell me a little bit about this Hokies team for those that didn't get to watch a high-scoring affair at North Carolina. Obviously, they won the week before that at Duke. Everything's been weird, as we mentioned. Lane Stadium, you know, is not going to be rocking with 90,000 plus people and all that. But tell me what to expect on the football field. A little quarterback switcheroo here from what I was what I saw. You know, I've been obviously busy covering the disaster up here. But tell everybody that hasn't been paying attention what to expect out of this Hokie team tonight.
Well, I don't know if my chuckle picked up on air there when you said what to expect, because we have not known what to expect the past couple of weeks, because with everything with COVID protocol, our limited access to the team, It is, I said this yesterday on my show, we'd love to talk about offense, defense, special teams, and X factors. Well, the biggest X factor in college football is about 90 minutes before the game when you get the list of inactives, because these guys are being tested Friday, and usually about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, the coaches are finding out on Saturday who's in and who's out. So, for Virginia Tech, the past 2 weeks, I mean, you know, let me take that back. The past 3 weeks, it's just been the amount of adversity that they've overcome in their first two wins. And then last week, it was too much being without their top six safeties, being against the North Carolina team, which is really good, really talented. You know, I look at them as a top 10 team in the country. So the biggest thing for Virginia Tech, hopefully tonight, is they get that defense healthy. They played Duke without their corners, their top two deep on their corners. They played without safeties last week. So you're hoping they can get their secondary back. You're hoping especially you can get Divine Diablo back, who is a big – I call him two-sided tape, because as a safety, he brings the run and the pass defense together. And they're going to need it against a Boston College team, which is not the old ground-and-pound, 3 yards in a cloud of dust BC team. This is a talented team with a young coach in Jeff Hafley. They have a quarterback who is – the same height as Ben Roethlisberger and 9 pounds less. So he's a big boy and he can sling it. His name's Phil Jakovic. And they got a pretty good passing attack. Zay Flowers and Hunter Long is the tight end. You'll see them playing on Sunday. So the biggest thing for the Hokies tonight is, can they get that defense healthy? The offense is humming. They can run the ball. And Hennon Hooker last week, I thought he should have started. He gets in there and gets that second half. He's got the offense moving, but they got to find a way to get this starting defense on the field together, Chris.
And we don't know. And do we know as of this point whether they're going to be able to have most of the pieces that they're hoping to have? But or we have to wait, I guess, like we do in the NFL until what? I guess 6:30 tonight, right? To find out for sure. Or
it really is, Chris. I mean, we're doing the pregame show and we're talking about. And it's so crazy because, you know, I'll spend all week talking about this hypothetical and what the Hokies have to do here and the matchup against Boston College. And then you get handed the piece of paper at 7:30, and you're like, oh, crap, this guy's out, and that guy's out. And, you know, the first 2 weeks, it's amazing how this team responded.
Right.
First 2 weeks to see that they went to two games without their defensive coordinator. And the second week, they went without the guy who was calling the plays stepping in the first week. So, I mean, it's been wild. So last week, it was too much. And here's the other thing to factor in. They're getting guys back out of either contact tracing or quarantine, but some of these guys are not even getting a week of prep. So mm-hmm. the conditioning is also a factor. So they've been through a lot, you know, just you want to really see how good this team can be if they can get the full strength.
And like you said, a young and upcoming Boston College offense, which is a little bit different than normally that they have been under Addazio. So the question that I would have is if they were to fall flat on their face tonight for whatever reason, right? Whether it just, you know, because they didn't have their full team or because maybe just they turned the ball over or whatever. Would that be a big setback in terms of the perception and the view for Fuente? Or because they've been through so much, at some point, the inevitable is going to happen where they're going to lose a game and it's just going to all catch up to them. And that's just 2020 in a nutshell.
I think that kind of happened last week. I think it was just too much. And, you know, I do think they made a mistake in not starting Hendon Hooker. But I think 2020 caught up with them last week. Mm-hmm. Now, can they rebound? Can they get healthy? Can they keep the pieces in place? They can run the heck out of the ball. I mean, besides Army, after Army and Navy, they're the top rushing team in the
country.
Absolutely.
And that's how you neutralize a good throwing quarterback, too, obviously.
Yes, and I know, Chris, I know people are laughing right now. We know how much you love the run, so I'm not saying anything. But I think tonight's matchup, and I don't know if enough people are giving Boston College credit. They have a young head coach, Jeff Hafley, who's only 40 years old. When mm-hmm. he's come in the middle of a pandemic, first time as a head coach, as a defensive guy, to put in new systems. And for them, their defense hasn't allowed 30 points per game. They've been in every game. The last three games have gone down to the wire, and they're 2-1. I look at tonight's game. If you can look at the ACC in terms of like power rankings, you've got Clemson at the top. And I said yesterday on my show, it's kind of like if you look at a pack of sled dogs. Up front is Clemson, then the two dogs behind are North Carolina and then Notre Dame, and then you've got this next pack of Miami, Virginia Tech, and I put Boston College in there. Tech had one loss last week. It was tough. It's one of those what ifs. If they were full strength, could they have beat North Carolina? But to stay in that pack, to stay in the ACC race, it's going to be a big game tonight. It's going to be very key.
Number 23, Virginia Tech against Boston College. You can hear the coverage beginning at 6 o'clock tonight. You'll hear Wes McElroy, host of the pre- and post-game, of course, with Mike Burnham. And of course, the game will kick off, at 7:30, right? 7:35, 7:30? What's the official?
No, we're pushed back tonight. So pre-game 6:30 and kickoff at 8.
My bad. My bad on that. I've been given the wrong time. I thought it was 6. My bad. All right. So before we let you out of here, I wanted to get your thoughts. What's that?
It's okay. In a normal college football year, we'd have 7:30 games.
Exactly.
For some reason, in 2020, we have 8 o'clock games.
Well, that's what I was kind of wondering. Either way, a nighttime football game at Lane Stadium seems about right to me. All right, one question I want to let you out on. For the Washington football team, I know you talk, obviously, about the team a lot. I opened up the show today asking, is it okay that they are trying to seize this NFC East in a down year? If they don't go for broke and do anything reckless, is it okay to have that mentality in your eyes? Or are you, as a member of the media, fan, wanting them to do well, are you disappointed that they are trying to take advantage, if you will, of a lousy division?
I'm not disappointed that they're taking advantage. Look, I think it was too soon to pull the plug on Dwayne Haskins. I do. But at the same time, do I feel like I would have thought any differently about Haskins 3 weeks from now? Probably not. So I'm looking at it as, can you bring in Kyle Allen? Not that Kyle Allen's the future, and I'm not even looking to see if he can play his way as the future, but I think it's more of, can you maximize what you have on this offense? Can you be more of a beneficial offense for this defense? Can this defense improve? I just want to see, and I look, whoever hangs the banner as the 2020 NFC East winner, not exactly a banner that you want to put first and forefront. But I'm okay. Look, I want to see if this team can ultimately get better. If that involves wins and running for the East, sure. If it involves close losses, fine. But I need to see a better product at the end of the season. Whether that team is 7-9 or 5-11, but I haven't even really thought much about judging the NFC East, but I feel like Ron Rivera had the convenience of saying that they were going for the division, but ultimately, I know he's saying what he's saying right now, but just feels like he's done with the Dwayne Haskins project.
I don't disagree with that. He probably is. He won't say that, but he probably is. My man, have a great broadcast tonight. I know it's going to be a little bit weird again without Lays, but I'm sure you guys as professionals, much more professional than myself, will get it done, and it'll sound great, and I look forward to watching and listening to the coverage. Virginia Tech hosting Boston College tonight. You can hear it on The Fan again, starting with Wes at 6:30 and all night long on your Saturday night. Always good to hear from you, my friend. Listen to Wes on 910 The Fan in Richmond, Afternoon Drive, and on the radio.com app as well. Good to catch up with you, pal. Have a great broadcast tonight.
Take care, Rooster. Thanks for jumping on, and look forward to talking to all the Hokies tonight at 6:30.
Absolutely. There you go. Kickoff coming up for that in just, 5 hours and 13 minutes from right now. So make sure you check out Wes McElroy and the crew on 106.7 The Fan tonight after CBS Sports Radio, which follows us. We'll take our final timeout, come back, put the icing on the cake next, right here on The Fan. All right, thanks to Wes McElroy for joining us again from our sister station, 910 The Fan in Richmond, where you can hear him Afternoon Drive, also on the radio.com app, and as well tonight right here on The Fan and the Virginia Tech Hokies Radio Network, a big part of the coverage, pregame, postgame, and everything in between as Virginia Tech gets ready to host the Boston College Eagles. All right, just wrapping up the show real quick. This is something I didn't get to earlier. I wanted to get to it. Boy, Davey Martinez is taking some risks here. I know contracts were up, but when you win a World Series a year ago, and then, yes, you struggled miserably during whatever this season was, 16-game sprint, all sorts of injuries, and there is no doubt that they did not play well. Nobody would suggest that. You know, he, by letting go of guys like Chip Hale, and, you know, Paul Menhart, who was largely credited with turning around the pitching staff in the World Series year, and also Kevin Long, the hitting coach. When you basically say, look, their contracts are expiring, but we're going to not renew them, I'm not going to fight for you. I want my own guys. And Davey didn't exactly say that. I don't know if he's publicly, but that's been the spin, right? That their contracts are up and they could certainly bring them back if they wanted to. They're not firing everybody, right? To my knowledge, Tim Bogar is staying and Henley's staying and the bullpen coach is staying. I could have missed something along the way. My point is they're kind of using it as an opportunity to get his own people in. And I understand that to some degree. But you better be right. You know, because here's the thing. They let Mike Maddox go when Davey first took over. And they brought in Derek Lilliquist. And I don't know if that was more Davey's decision or Rizzo's decision. I don't know. But they were woefully wrong. They were woefully wrong on that hire. It was not a good decision, as it turned out. So they damn well better be right. Whoever they're bringing in, and I haven't had time to follow it closely enough. Sorry. I got 14,000 jobs and none of them nonstop. Plus, it took me until 11:45 on Thursday night to do my taxes. I beat the deadline by 10 minutes. But the point of the matter is I don't know who exactly made the decision on the whole Maddox Lilliquist thing, but that did not work. That was a major swing and a miss. So if they're going to do this, which they've already done it, and let go of these guys for whatever reason they have to get their own guys in, fine. You better not swing and miss. You better not swing and miss. That's all I'll say, because it's a lot of turnover on the staff. And turnovers on staff, fine. Arkansas State just fired their defensive coordinator and the best coach of the the best friend of the head coach, who helped him out, you know, through an awful tragedy. And they fired him. And they won, but they allowed like 51 points. You better be right. When you fire somebody, when you bench somebody, you better be right. Ron Rivera's feeling that too. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Darris Dameron for helping us out and doing a great job with us all afternoon. As well, Wes McElroy, thanks to you guys for calling and being a part of the radio show. CBS Sports Radio up next. Virginia Tech football again later on this evening against Boston College. That's going to do it for us right here on The Fan. Adios.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.